Noong 2020, on a flight papuntang Oman, para magkaroon po kami ni Dayan ng connecting flight papuntang Doha, ang plane namin ni Dayan ay naka-experience ng severe turbulence. Severe turbulence. First time lang po namin naka-experience ng ganoon. The turbulence was so strong, a cold fear gripped us. We started questioning the abilities ng mga pilots to fly the plane. We started questioning ang structural integrity ng aeroplano. Can this really hold us? We started thinking of the worst case scenario na pwedeng mangyari sa amin. Mangyari sa aming mga plano, mangyari sa aming mga mahal sa buhay. Naranasan niyo na ba yung ganong klaseng takot? Nasa sitwasyon ka ba ngayon na nagkakos ng matinding takot at pag-alala ng iyong puso that you're starting to question God? Have we started questioning Him? Questioning His promises? Questioning His plans for our lives? Where do we find strength and comfort in times like this? Where do we go? Who do we cling on to? Yung po ang titignan po natin sa passage natin ngayong umaga. At babalikan po natin yung isang mama na kung saan kilala as the father of faith, na si Abraham. We're going through a 6-week study sa historical book called Genesis. It is a continuation ng ating pag-aaral pa noon ng 2022. Sinimulan po natin ito ng 2021. We continued ng 2022. Nagkaroon tayo ng break ng 2023. And now, tayo po ay magbabalik-aral muli ngayon 2024. Iniwan natin ang ating aralin sa patriarch na ang pangalan ay Abraham. Nung time na ito, sa mga chapters na inaaral natin, ang pangalan pa niya noon ay Abram. Si Abram ay galing sa isang godless nation na kung saan sumasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyosan. Particularly, he was worshiping the moon god. Or the moon. So far, ang inaral natin sa Genesis chapter 12 hanggang 14, God called Abram and instructed him na umalis sa kanyang homeland at pumunta sa east na tinatawag na modern-day Iraq ngayon, papuntang Canaan, sa west kung saan ang Israel naman ang matatagpuan sa panahon natin ngayon. Pinangakuan ng Panginoon si Abram ng mga descendants o lahi. Pinangakuan ng lupa, land. Pinangakuan that God will bless him. And not only that, God promised him that he will bless him to be a blessing to many nations. But the good news, in his obedience sa command ng Panginoon, agad-agad na sumunod si Abraham. Si Abraham. Hindi nagdalawang isip, nag-alsabaluta at kasama ang kanyang pamilya, agad pumunta sa isang lugar na hindi niya alam kung saan at sasabihin na lang ng Panginoon pagdating na doon. Ganun po yung sitwasyon. In obedience, he is indeed a man of faith. Ngunit na-discoverin natin sa mga chapters na ito na ang ating hero ng faith ay hindi sinless, ay hindi malinis sa kasalanan. Kasi his faith faltered. But the good news is he didn't stay in his faithless state. He went back to call God's name and once again started walking by faith and not by sight. At ngayon sa chapter 15, itutuloy po natin itong kabanata na ito ng storya ng man of faith na ito. And ang main idea ng ating sermon ngayong umaga ay ito. God comforts and strengthens His people by assuring them of His promises. God comforts and strengthens His people by assuring them of His promises. This passage is divided into 2 points. Number one, God comforts His fearful people with His promises, verses 1-6. Number two, God strengthens the faith of His people through His promises. At yung po yung mga remaining verses of verses 7 hanggang 12. God comforts His people from His promises, and God strengthens the faith of His people through His promises. Ang aking panalangin ngayong umaga na ito sa pag-aaral ng ating ng salita ng Diyos ay pagtibayin ng Panginoon ang ating pananampalataya sa Kanya as we trust His promises in times of uncertainty and in times of difficulty. Let's jump in sa ating passage. Number one, God comforts His fearful people with His promises. Verse 1 and chapter 50. All these things, let's stop right there. Ano yung all these things na ito? Ito po pertains sa mga kaganapan nangyari noong chapter 14. So ang tanong, ano ba nangyari noong chapter 14? Sa chapter 14, may dalawang klaseng koalisyon ng mga hari ang nagsama, ang nagkaaway. They are at war. Yung isang koalisyon ng hari, yung tinatawag na Eastern King, which composed of four different kingdoms or four kings, nakasama doon is Kedorlaomer, si King Kedorlaomer. At yung isa naman, yung kalaban nilang grupo ng mga hari, which is composed of five kings and five kingdoms, kasama po ron yung mga kingdom ng Sodom and Gomorrah. So magkaaway po yun. Na-overpower ng mga eastern kings, ang mga western kings, kasama na dito ang hari ng Sodom and Gomorrah. So tinalo sila, yung mga taga Sodom and Gomorrah, who sa takot left their cities unprotected, pati yung kanilang mga people. Kaya lahat ng ari-arian, lahat ng mga kayamanan, lahat ng mga tao, mga mamamayan doon sa Sodom and Gomorrah and the rest of the other kings ay natangay na ng mga haring ito. Lahat yan ay considered spoils of war. Kanila na. At kung maalala natin sa chapter 13, sino yung nakatira malapit doon? O pinili lugar na matabang lupa na yon at tumira doon? Si Lot. At sino po si Lot? Pamangkin ni Abraham. So doon po siya nakatira. At since malapit siya sa perimeter ng Sodom and Gomorrah, dinakip din po siya. Lahat ng kanila ay napunta na sa mga haring ito. Kaya ang kanyang pamilya, kanyang ari-arian, tangay na din ng mga eastern kings. Nakarating ang balita na ito kay Abram, and with his small army of 318, strategically attacked the four kings, defeated them, rescued Lot, at napunta sa kanila ang mga ari-arian na nadakip sa mga hari. So lahat napunta na, lahat kay Abram. So isipin nyo kung todo yamang yung lalo ni Abram. Then, after po ng victory, ito, two kings ang lumapit po kay Abram. One of them ay yung king ng Salem na si Melchizedek, who is a priest king who also worships Yahweh, pareho ni Abram. Anong ginawa ni Melchizedek? Dinalan siya ng tinapay, ng refreshments ng alak, and blessed him. Abram, in his gratitude, gave tenth of everything ng spoils of war sa kanya. So binigay niya rin yun kay Melchizedek. Now may pangalawang hari na lumapit din sa kanya. Yung pangalawang hari na ito ay ang hari ng Sodom. Ang hari ng Sodom, knowing lahat ng kanyang mga ari-arian, lahat ng mga kanyang mamamayan, mga tao nila ay nasa ilalim o kamay na ni Abram, made a deal with him. At ang deal dito, sinabi niyo, sa inyo na lahat ang mga amin. Bigyan niyo lang yung mga tao namin sa amin, mga mamamayan namin. So yun po yung offer. Binibigyan siya ng reward, lahat ng mga treasures at possessions ng Sodom, ibalik mo lang ang mga tao namin. Pero Abram rejected ang offered reward na ito galing kay Sodom. Because if he is going to be great, Abram wants to be great sa pamamaraan ng Panginoon. Because this was the very promise of God to him. That he will be a great nation. That he will have a land. That God will bless him. That he will have an heir and descendants. If he will be resting on greatness, and dapat ito ay naaayon sa kalooban ng Panginoon. So tinanggihan po niya ito. Because God promised him this. He is trusting God and His promises. He chose to give honor and glory to God, not to the king of Sodom. Sabi ni Abraham sa chapter na yon, kunin mo na yan lahat. Ayoko na makumakalat sa buong mga kingdoms na to na pinayaman mo ako. Kasi si Yahweh lang dapat ang may papuri. Kaya pagkatapos po ng kaganapan ng chapter 14, ito na ngayon ang context ng chapter 15. Balikan natin ang verse 1 ng chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, hinto ulit tayo dito. Pansin niyo po ba yung verse na yon? Ang mahalaga sa vision na ito ay hindi yung pangitain. Ang mahalaga sa vision na ito ay yung hindi nila nakita. Hindi niya nakita. Ang mahalaga sa vision na ito ay yung mismong nadinig niya. Mas mahalagang narinig niya ang salita ng Diyos kesa sa nakita niya. Kasi ito po talaga ang purpose ng kahit anong vision sa Bible. To communicate the Word of God to His people. Listening to God's Word is more important than what he saw. At ito'y isa ding mahalagang katotohanan para sa atin, mga mananampalataya, sa panahon ngayon. Alam ko marami po tayong mga naririnig at na mga mangangaral na sinasabi na kinakailangan ng prophecies and dreams and visions para malaman mo kung ano talaga ang sinasabi sa iyo ng Panginoon. And excited po tayo doon dahil ito'y mga anything that is spiritual in a sense na supernatural ang hinahanap natin. Listen, God has given us His Word, the Bible. At mas mahalaga ito pakinggan kaysa sa mga pwede nating sabihin o makita sa dreams and visions or prophecies. The complete and final revelation of God to man is His Word. Hindi po natin kailangan ng mga dreams, visions, or prophecies. I'm not saying na hindi ginamit ng Panginoon niya nung Bible times. I'm not saying that God cannot use yung mga bagay rin sa panahon natin ngayon. Pero God has given us something that is more clear, more direct, more that came from His heart, and that is His Word. At meron po kayo tayong access na yan sa ating harapan. At yan yun ang salita ng Diyos. Listen to God's Word, friends. By reading it daily, by meditating on it day and night, by listening to songs that talks about who God is, how great He is, how glorious He is. Listen to these types of talks. Listen to sermons na kung saan na magiging helpful for our souls to glorify God. That's why it is very important na weekly we gather as a church. Mga kaibigan o mga kapatid, huwag natin maliitin ang gathering ng saints every Sunday. Because this is the feeding of God's Word to His specific people in this specific locality, in this specific congregation. And if you're part of this specific congregation, I urge you, do not take this for granted because the Bible says don't take it for granted. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. You want to be fed, you want to be encouraged, you want to be called out, you want to grow in the faith. It is within this congregation na niligay sa iyo ng Panginoon, dapat mangyari ito. Don't be late. Don't miss out unless talagang kinakailangan because you're not feeling well or you're traveling. But make this as something na important sa buhay nyo kasi kaluluwa ninyo ang nakataya rito. Kaluluwa ng mga mahal natin sa buhay nakataya rito. Now, if you're a faithful attendee of Crossroads, we are thankful for that. I urge you, be part of a church that is healthily preaching the gospel in God's Word. It doesn't have to be Crossroads. We would love that. But we know a lot of healthy churches that preaches God's Word in different localities. If you think you gusto nyo yung medyo English lagi, then I know a lot of churches. Tagalog, may mga ilan. But we would love to have you. Together, let us be faithful in listening and meditating and memorizing and living out God's Word. At ano ang sinabi ng Diyos kay Abraham sa pangitain? Fear not.
I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Let's stop again.
Hindi ikokomand ng Diyos ito kung hindi natatakot si Abraham. Si Abraham. Okay? Hindi niya ikokomand to kung hindi siya tempted to be afraid or maybe he's already afraid. Takot saan, Pastor? Okay. Remember, Abraham rejected ang reward offered sa kanya ng hari ng Sodom? Bagamat tama ang ginawa niyang ito, pero marahil ito rin ang bumabagabag sa kanyang isipan. Malaki din ang nawala sa kanyang koleksyon. Malaki rin ang nawalang treasures na kung saan dapat sa kanila na pwede na pakinabangan. Also, knowing that he has defeated four powerful kings, he now becomes an immediate threat sa lahat ng mga kingdoms in those lands. He just made enemies. Wow, lakas pala ng Abraham na yun. Siguro, mag-coalition pa tayo ng hindi lang apat, makipagsanib na tayo sa lima pa. Kailangan natin siyang patayin. Itaob. Probably that's one of those thoughts sa kanyang isipan. Because he has become great. He is known in the lands. And also, he is a threat sa other kingdoms. Kasi baka sakupin niya ibang mga kingdoms. Kung iisipin natin ito, may dahilan siyang matakot. It's logical that he becomes fearful. He is anxious sa safety ng kanyang pamilya at nag-aalala sa kanyang kinabukasan. He is struggling with fear. Friends, does this describe you this morning? Are you struggling with fear and anxiety? Natatakot ka ba na baka ikaw ang susunod na matatanggal sa trabaho? Nagkatanggalan lang kamakailan. Ako ngayon 2024, baka ito ang pasabog sa amin. Students, are you worried that maybe you may not pass sa mga darating na exams? Or maybe you fear that you are in the wrong program in university? Or you might choose the wrong program as you enter university? Or maybe you're afraid that is this the right university? Or maybe you are about to graduate or a fresh graduate and you are afraid or worried na baka wala kang mapasukan na trabaho dito sa Dubai dahil mabigat ang competition. Or maaring nagpaplano ka magpakasal at natatakot ka baka hindi siya ang kaloob ng Panginoon. O maaaring nag-aalala ka sa iba naman dahil hindi pa nagpaparamdam si kaloob ng Panginoon. O maaaring iba sa atin nag-a-assume na siya ang kaloob ng Panginoon. At nag-aalala ka kasi assuming ka. Haluan pa yung silingero ka rin. Or maybe you fear the next renewal ng inyong flat or villa, lalo na ngayon up to 20% ang idadagdag. Hanggang 20% ang increase. You fear the next dewa, sewa, itisalat, and due bills because the budget is short. Or maybe you are in a situation right now where things did not go the way you planned. And you are concerned about your future. You're concerned about your children's future. You're concerned about your family's future. And you're losing sleep over it. Kung katulad niyo ako, na may iniinda ng karamdaman, probably yung fear ninyo, katulad sa akin, na baka related to sa isang malubhang karamdaman. Or maybe it's another way to put it, you fear for a loved one na kung saan malubha ang karamdaman. Lahat ng mga ito ay pwede pong mangyari o marahil nangyayari na sa buhay mo ngayon.
We live in a fallen world at may posibilidad na maranasan natin ang sakuna at paghihirap ng mga ito. What do we do in the face of these possibilities? What do we do in the midst of it? Maybe for some of us na ganun ang situation.
Well, brothers and sisters and friends, we have God's promises. We have God's word.
God promised Abram protection. I am your shield. That's a battle shield. He also promised his reward would be great. He is promising him an inheritance. God is offering Abram something greater what Sodom offered him.
Mga kaibigan, kapag tayo po'y nakakaramdam ng takot, dapat mabilis tayong tumakbo sa mga pangako ng Panginoon. Hindi mabilis sa mga kanya-kanyang kamunduhan na diskarte. Alam po natin ang mga kamunduhan na diskarte ay hindi ay napapahamak lalo tayo. Kaya mahalaga na dapat malaman, maalam tayo sa salita ng Diyos. Na hindi ko sinasabi na dapat genius tayo sa Bible. Dapat maalam tayo, meron tayong lalim, meron tayong kaalaman para meron tayong paghuhugutan pag nilalamon na ho tayo ng takot at pag-aalala. Hindi ba yan ang dahilan kung bakit kayo pupunta sa mga pastor o sa mga spiritual leaders ninyo? It's because gusto nyo makarinig. But you can do that by yourself. You can go deep on God's Word. Read, meditate, memorize, feed, saturate yourselves with the Word of God. Because we are people of the Word.
Paulit-ulit sinabi ng Diyos sa kanyang salita na fear not. Some people said that there are a total of 365 fear nots sa Bible, which gives us one fear not each day. Bakit kamo? Because there are 365 days in a year. What is your fear not passage this morning? Nagagamitin in context. Isaiah, give me a couple of those fear nots. Isaiah 41, basahin niyo po yun. Napakadaming fear nots. But let me give you at least verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not dismay, be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 41:10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 31. Sabi ni Jesus, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, fear not, therefore you are more valuable than sparrows.
Kung ang Panginoon pinag-iingatan ng hindi lang isang type ng species ng ibon lahat, at alam niya ang bilang ng hibla ng bawat bilang ng buhok natin, hindi ba ganun siya ganun ka-concern sa atin? Mga kaibigan, fear can consume us. Fear can consume you. Pwede kang maparalisa sa takot. Ano ibig sabihin ng pwede kang walang magawa sa takot?
It prevents you from obeying God. Fear hinders you from also loving others. Fear hinders you from loving brothers and sisters. Fear hinders you to love the unlovable. Fear hinders you to love people created in the image of God. Bakit? Dahil you have to take a risk to love others. You have to open your life to that person. You are taking a risk to be rejected and suffer for that person. It'll take a lot from you. It'll be costly. It'll be time consuming. Pouring a lot of your effort just to love, just to serve someone. It takes, friends, a lot of dying to yourself.
Paglabanan natin ang takot. as a church, as an individual, with the promises of God. God's promises comfort His fearful people. I'm not saying na kapag nakapagbasa ka ng promise sa Panginoon, biglang, uy, magic, nawala yung problema. No. God's comfort will provide comfort in His, through His promises in the midst of that stormy situation. You can find peace in our Lord. Alam ng Diyos na tinanggihan ni Abraham ang reward ng hari ng Sodom. God is saying, I will reward you greatly, Abram. God comforts Abram by reminding him of his promise. Abram has been walking with God for years simula nung kinuha siya mismo sa land ng kanyang mga tatay. At may katagalan na rin since nung binigay yung pangako. Ilang taon na ito nung binigay yung pangako. May edad na si Abram, may edad na ang kanyang asawa. So Abram brings this concern to the Lord. Teka, may pangako ng anak, ng lahi. Ito ang concern, verse 2 and 3. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house, Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Ang bata lang po na available na sa tahanan nila ay isang slave boy na taga Damascus. Nakagawian sa kanilang kultura na kapag walang anak ang mag-asawa, ay aampunin nila yung slave boy na yon. At they will educate him, they will train him for a time. At kapag sila ay mamamatay na or namatay, iiwan lahat ng estate o mga ari-arian o properties sa inampon na slave boy na ito. Pero ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa verse 4, hindi siya magiging heir mo, hindi siya ang tagapagmana. Verse 5, God assures him na sarili mong anak ang magiging heir mo. And he brought, verse 5, and he brought him outside and said, and this is how God encourages him, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Sa kalagitnaan ng crisis ng faith ni Abraham, gumamit ng illustration ang Panginoon to reaffirm His commitment sa Kanya. We are not sure literally kung talagang dinala siya ng vision palabas or mismo yung context is sa vision, nakita niya ang kalangitan with stars. Pero ang point po dito, pinakita ng Panginoon yung vastness ng space and yung pagiging dami ho, hindi mabilang ng mga bituin sa kalangitan. To encourage Abraham na kung nababilang mo yan, siyempre, it's a question na alam naman ang sagot ay hindi mo rin mabibilang yung mga anak mo na lalabas sa iyo. Verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Nangako ang Panginoon at pinagkatiwalaan ito ni Abraham. At ang nakakamangha po dito ay yung response ng Panginoon sa kanyang pananampalataya. God counted, imputed, credited it to him as righteousness. Pero teka muna, Pastor, alam natin na hindi righteous si Abraham. We know na makasalanan siya. He is prone to sin. His faith faltered. Nakita natin ito nung nasa Egypt sila na tinutusan niya yung asawa niya magsinungaling para maprotektahan lang siya ng leadership ng lugar na yon. But God considers him as righteous not because of his righteousness. God considered him as righteous despite of his sin. Mga kaibigan, ang kaganapan ng Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 ay isa sa pinakamahalagang verses sa Bible. Kasi dito, for the first time, the Bible links together ang ideas ng faith and justification. At makikita natin ito na paulit-ulit na binabanggit sa New Testament. Romans 4:3, which is yung binasa kanina ni Brother Eric. Galatians 3:6 and James chapter 2 verse 23. Ang tinuturo ng mundo at ng lahat ng mga relihiyon dito ay pag-igihan mong gumawa ng kabutihan. Do good, be righteous, and God will justly justify your sins kapag mas matimbang ang nagawa mong kabutihan kesa sa kasamaan. Yan ang ituturo ng lahat ng mga reliyon sa mundo. Ang tinuturo nila ay mali kasi may problema.
Romans 3:10-11. No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God.
Christianity lang ang nagtuturo na to trust in God's Son Jesus and His finished work on the cross. And He will make you righteous. He will justify you by grace through faith in Christ alone. Mga kaibigan, hindi kaya ng mabubuti nating mga gawa, linisin ang ating maruming puso. Hindi mo kaya, hindi ko kaya. Mayroon dalawang paraan para magkaroon ng tamang relasyon sa isang banal na Diyos. Una, mamuhay ka ng walang pagkakasala. Gawin niyo po yan. Yung talagang walang bahid ng kasalanan. Hindi mapupulaan. That's one way. At ang pangalawa naman, okay. Ang pangalawa is this. Pagkatiwalaan ang pangako ni Kristo na siya lamang ang Diyos who gave in His life, death, burial, and resurrection. Only through Him that God counts you as sinless or righteous. You either earn it or it has been gifted to you. No one can earn. It should be gifted. Mga kaibigan, this gift is being offered to you right now as you sit in that chair. Probably you are already feeling the Holy Spirit knocking in your hearts right now to turn away from your sins, place your faith on Christ, work on the cross only for justification, for salvation, for forgiveness, for reconciliation to God the Father, for righteousness. Since wala ni isa sa atin ay may record of sinless life, we should receive the gift of righteousness from God in faith in His Son. So there is an invitation to repent from our sins of self-reliance and put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. So Old Testament, they have faith in God and believe in the promised one to come. That's how they get saved. Okay? They have faith in God and believed in the promised one, the promised son to come. Sa atin ngayon, we have faith in God and believe in the promised one who came. Believe on the promised son who came. And that is Jesus Christ. And we have faith that He will one day come back for us. Such joy. Salvation is not earned. It is gifted by God to those who do not deserve it and to those who are humble enough to receive it. God gives us what we do not deserve. The father of faith did not get saved by his deeds. He was saved by grace through faith. So God comforts Abram's fearful heart by affirming him of his promised child and descendants. Pero hindi lang ito ang pangako na inaffirm ng Panginoon. He also affirmed that He will give him land, which is your number two at huling point ng ating sermon ngayong araw. God strengthens the faith of His people through His promises. Verse 7, and He said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Pinaalala niya ulit. Kasi nasa chapter 12, binanggit na niya ulit yun. Now, this is, he's reaffirming that. So hindi lamang pinaalalahanan ng Diyos si Abraham sa pinangakong anak, kung hindi pinangakong lupa din. Although Abraham has faith in God, pero hindi nangangahulugan na yung faith na yan ay hindi mauuga o hindi magsastruggle. At yun po yung situation mismo ni Abraham dito, nagsastruggle yung kanyang faith. I praise God dahil totoo yung Bible at totoo yung mga tao sa Bible. Verse 8, but he said, O Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Panginoon, paano ko naman malalaman? Why? Because informed ang faith ni Abraham. He knows he's old. He knows his wife is old. And they both know by fact that they're way past childbearing. Yung asawa niya at saka siya. Alam na yun. Hindi na pwede mga ganitong edad. So informed siya, pero informed din siya sa isang fact. And that fact is God. He believes that God is the God of the impossible. So in this question, it's a struggle. Lord, I know ito yung situation ko. I know you have been faithful, your promises mo from the past. I know you are God who can do the impossible. Pero Lord, paano ko makikita? Paano ko malalaman? Do you see? It's not a faith na kung saan, wala naman, hindi naman totoo yung Diyos. Hindi yun yung faith na faltering na tinatawag natin. It's different. So how will I know, Lord? How will I know? How will I know? Friends, do you resonate with Abraham ngayong oras na ito? Na kadalasan bilang Kristiyano, kapag tayo nahaharap sa isang suliranin o paghihirap, kapag binabasa natin ang Bible at ang mga pangako ng Panginoon, parang hindi natin masyado maunawaan, hindi natin makonect sa ating buhay dahil sa bigat ng pinagdadaanan natin? You know the truth about God? Yes, I know God. About His promises? Yes. You know how we should think. We know how we should feel. It's a situation ito, but we're still struggling. Is that your situation right now? You feel alone. You feel desperate. You feel you don't understand, Lord. Nung tinanong ni Abraham ang Diyos, hindi nagalit ang Diyos sa kanya. Scholars said na yung question ni Abraham sa Diyos does not imply disbelief. So, what can this teach us ngayong umaga? Friends, there is a way to ask God questions but still hold a posture of faith sa ating hearts. Which means, ask questions to God, yes, but don't stop trusting Him. Ask God, but don't accuse Him. So Abraham asked God kung paano niya malalaman na ikalolob niyang pangako na ito. God is patient with Abraham and commands him to do something. So verse 9 to 11. He said to him, bring me a heifer 3-year-old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So, ano nangyari dito? He commands Abram na kumuha ng mga certain animals. Okay, ano ang context? He is asking God. And then, etong sagot ng Panginoon. Okay? Kumuha ka ng mga certain animals, patayin, paslangin ang mga ito, ilapag sa sahig ng side to side in a row para parallel ang bawat isa at mag-iwan ka ng space sa gitna or walkway. Yun po ang itsura ng sacrifice na yun. May mga pinahanda ng Panginoon ito because God is going to make a covenant sa kanya. Ang covenant ay isang legal agreement between two or more parties, o isang kasunduan. May mga dalawang klaseng covenant. May tinatawag na conditional covenant na parang contract na obligado ang dalawa o higit sa party na kailangan, obliga silang gawin ito o tuparin ito. At meron din naman tinatawag na unconditional covenant na walang terms, just a promise of what one party declares to do. Walang promise, pero dumaan ko dyan, pero kung ano sabihin ko, yun ang gagawin ko. So parang unilateral ang tinatawag po, no? O isa lang ang magtupad. Since Abraham struggles sa kanyang faith, God makes a covenant. Na ang sinasabi ng Panginoon na kapag binali ang covenant na itong gagawin ko, na itong mangyayari. Ito ang mangyayari sa iyo. Yung mga namatay na mga animals na yan, ganyan ang mangyayari kung sino man ang bumali ng covenant at ang kasunduan na ito. Okay? You will be slaughtered, you will be dead, a curse will be upon you. So kung sino man dumaan doon, literally, is placing a curse sa kanyang sarili. Na kapag hindi ko nasunod yung mga pinauutos ng tao na ito sa kasunduan na ito, patay, ganyan ang mangyayari sa akin. Yun yung covenant na nangyayari. Sa Old Testament, when a king conquers another tribe or another nation, as an act of loyalty sa conquering king, ang mga nasakop na tribe o mga nasakop na nation ay gagawa ng ganong klaseng ritual. Kill animals, magkakaroon ng walkway. At ang gagawin po ng hari is padadaanin ng mga mamamayan sa gitna ng mga dead animals na yon, mga cut animals. Bakit? Symbolizing na as long as tapat kayo sa akin, as long as magagawin mo yung pinapagawa ko sa covenant na ito, I will protect you. I will bless you. Ngunit kapag nagrebelde kayo at sinaway ninyo yung kautosan ko, gagawin sa inyo ang ginawa sa mga animals na ito na dinaanan ninyo. So it's a visual, it's a picture na pwedeng mangyari sa iyo. So kung sino man dumaan doon, technically it's an oath of self-curse or self-destruction. Hindi lang dito ginamit ito sa Old Testament. Hindi lang ito kay Genesis. Alam niyo ba na makikita rin ito sa Jeremiah 34 verse 18? Nung sasakupin na ni King Nebuchadnezzar ang mga Jews, ang Jerusalem, na-realize ng mga taga-Jerusalem na isa lang ang dahilan kung bakit sasakupin at papaslangin sila ni King Nebuchadnezzar. Because they have become unfaithful sa covenant sa Panginoon. You can read through that. It's a wonderful story. So, anong ginawa nila? Tinanggap nila ito. That curse is being enacted sa mga Israelites dahil sa kanilang unfaithfulness sa Panginoon sa covenant. Now, ang tanong, Pastor, how is this connected sa Genesis chapter 15? Dalawang mahalagang observations ang kailangan natin makita. Una, sa offering na ito, at makikita natin ito sa verse 17, ano? Sa cut up or cut off ng mga animals, sino po ang dumaan sa gitna ng dead animals? Basahin po natin verse 17. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Sun has gone dark. Nagkaroon daw ng kakilakilabot na kadiliman. Tapos, smoking fire pot at flaming torch. Ano itong mga to? These are the same descriptions na naibigay when God visited the top of Mount Sinai sa Exodus nung nandoon si Moses. It is the same picture na kung saan when God was leading His people, Israelites, sa wilderness through a pillar of fire sa sky. So ano pong ibig sabihin nito? Ano o sino ba ang dumaan doon? This means the one who passed through the dead animals in a terrifying, through a terrifying darkness is God Himself. Which means God is the one who will keep His promise. At kung hindi ko tutuparin ito, as He said, I will suffer the same fate as these animals. May I be cut up and cut off and die. God passes through the covenant and what that was made. He signed the covenant by passing through that. And you know, kapag gumawa ng pangako ang Panginoon, di ba? Tinutupad niya. And that is a comfort para kay Abraham. Second question, sino ang hindi dumaan sa dead animals? Clearly, si Abraham. Ang Diyos lang ang dumaan. This is a one-way covenant. As mentioned, this is unilateral. Isa lang ang magfo-fulfill nito. Now, this is shocking. God gave the assurance to Abraham, at hindi lamang po kay Abraham yung assurance na yan, binigay din yung assurance na yan sa atin. Binigay assurance na yan sa atin ngayon. Dahil sabi ni Jesus sa Luke 22:20, "The night that he was betrayed, said to his disciples, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Dr. Ligon Duncan verbalized itong verse na ito sa kung anong sinabi ni Jesus when he said, and I quote, "Jesus is saying this, 'My friends, long ago, God my Father, said to your father, Abram, I promise unto death. I am here to pay the price, not only that you might be redeemed from your sins, but that you could know that there is no power in all the universe that can prevent your receiving the blessings that God has promised to you, because I have sealed these promises with my blood." After ng covenant na yan, hundreds of years pagkatapos ng insidenteng yon, another darkness has covered the skies. The darkness was so great at dreadful na kahit in the middle of the day, parang gabi. Dahil Jesus, the incarnated Son of God, cried out, nailed on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Sabi sa Isaiah 53, Jesus was cut off from the land of the living. Ito ay isang covenant language na ang ibig sabihin that a curse has been placed on him on the cross. Bakit? Because he took our sins and guilt and shame on his body on that tree. He was cursed for us. His body beat and his blood was shed so that we would not be forsaken, so that we would be forgiven. Jesus was sent by God the Father, who lived the perfect life that none of us could, and died the death that we deserved. Mga kaibigan, walang relihiyon o mabubuting gawa ang makakaligtas sa atin. Ang Diyos lang through His Son, Jesus, who can save us. Wala ni isa sa ating kayang tumupad ng covenant na ito. Kung tayo ang pinadaan ng Diyos, patay tayo. Kasi we cannot fulfill the Ten Commands perfectly. Kaya ang dumaan sa gitna ng mga dead animals na ito perfectly kept the covenant, yet he was torn in pieces, so to speak. Friends, come to Jesus, the one who was broken down for you. Come to the one who was slaughtered on the cross para sa kapatawaran ng ating kasalanan. He is our covenant keeper, yet he is the one who took the penalties of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Friends, this is where we find our assurance in God's promise because of what Jesus has done. This is how our faith is strengthened as we remind ourselves of the truths of the gospel. We are strengthened ng faith natin because we look forward to that glorious hope that one day that this Jesus who paid our sins will come for us and will bring us to His presence for eternity, where there will be no more sin, no more pain, no more worries about increases sa dewa o sewa, o mismo sa inyong flat. No more worries na kung saan, kung talaga ba itong nararamdaman ko ay cancer. No more worries or fears of seeing a loved one, looking at them dead in the dead on this person's eye, dying. No more fear that we would hurt anyone. No more fear that people will hurt us anymore. This is the promise of the gospel. This strengthens our faith. Friends, this is the truth of God's word for us today. Because God comforts and strengthens His people by assuring them of His promises. Let's pray. Panginoon, salamat po. Salamat na ang aming foundation. Ang foundation ng aming assurance is found not in what we have done, on what we can do, or what we cannot do. Ang foundation ng aming assurance is what Christ has done on the cross. Lord, help us to see it. Lord, help us to savor it. Lord, help us to live it for the glory of your name. Amen.